What is going on, guys? It is Friday night, a little bit earlier than usual. Normally, you wouldn't see me until later, but that must mean that WWE is on tour again. Yes, indeed, they are overseas. Tonight was the first ever SmackDown, or I think TV show they've ever done, from Ireland. SmackDown was in Dublin tonight, so call it the luck of the Irish. You're getting an earlier stream tonight because I had my trusty VPN. So I got to watch SmackDown earlier this afternoon. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that it was some blowaway episode, but it really wasn't. But I'll tell you what was really cool, the hot crowd that they had there in Dublin. Those people were starved for a TV, called TV taping. It's not really a taping, but starved for a TV taping for many, many years. And tonight we had the return of John Cena. We did not see John Cena on the show last week. It's been a couple of weeks. But John Cena was promoted for the show tonight, and John Cena went face-to-face tonight with his opponent at Clash in Paris, which is coming up not this weekend, but the following weekend. Logan Paul was there, and John Cena gave us, I would say when he cut his promo on Logan, it was 5 straight minutes of greatness. This is what we were missing in those 4+ months that they were fiddling with the John Cena heel turn. This is what we could have been having. Well, I'm glad we got it tonight, because tonight was honestly one of the best promos that John Cena has cut on anybody this entire retirement tour. This was John Cena in his element, and he just looked Logan Paul dead in the eye, and for 5 minutes, I can't sit here and tell you that he buried him, because it was actually, it was very much a masterful performance. He put Logan Paul over. He elevated Logan Paul as far as the things that he said initially. He was putting him over what great talent he is, and a future world champion, and a future WrestleMania main eventer. He was saying all these wonderful things about Logan Paul, and then he lowered the boom. And what he was able to do was manipulate this promo in such a way where he then went and he played off of all of the criticisms that so many fans have about him, so many of the qualities they don't like about this guy, how self-promotional he is, and self-serving he is, and selfish he is. Despite all of his greatness inside the ring and what a great athlete he is, John Cena hit on all the key points, and I can tell you that a match that I was not necessarily looking forward to all that much, right? I knew it was going to be probably a good match, but I wasn't really looking all that forward to it at Clash in Paris. And what he was able to do tonight is go out there and lay the foundation, right? He set the story up of why this match is so important. What's really at stake here in this match? What Logan Paul has to go out there and do to prove himself to John Cena, to prove himself to all the people out there who doubt him, to all the people out there who call him an outsider. That was really the kind of the crux of the promo. I thought John Cena was fucking great on the mic tonight. Spitting facts, the left and right at Logan Paul. So that honestly was the highlight of the entire show. And then Logan Paul got a measure of revenge when the show was over. We also had Becky Lynch. Now, they were in Dublin, so you would have to expect that they would trot out a Becky or a Sheamus or someone on this show. We got Becky Lynch. We got the Women's Intercontinental Champion on the show tonight. And actually, as I am speaking right now, as the show is airing on USA Network here in the U.S., Becky Lynch is on your television in the ring right now as we speak. And I thought that her doing her heel shtick after initially being cheered and then turning heel on the fans and everything, it was fun. It was a fun promo segment to open the show. Any other show, any other city, any other country, it would be any other opening segment. But I thought that was fun. And we had the returns of two former champions on the show. Randy Orton, who laid out Drew McIntyre because there was no Cody Rhodes again this week. And Damian Priest, who ended up being a surprise opponent for Aleister Black, not the opponent he was scheduled to wrestle tonight, but they went at it a little bit here on this show. So those were two unannounced returns. So that was kind of those are the newsworthy elements of the show. But, you know, honestly, when I look back on this show, the Cena promo was the highlight. The Becky promo was fun for what it was. And we got the return of Randy Orton. And there's really nothing else on this show that I would say really stood out. I enjoyed this episode of SmackDown more than I have most of the SmackDown episodes that I've sat through these last several weeks. Not by much, but it was a better show overall, but there was really nothing else that I can sit here and tell you you got to go out of your way to see. The one thing that I would say you need to go out of your way and take 5 or 10 minutes to go watch is the John Cena segment. That is worth your time. That is worth going out of your way to see, especially if you are looking for something more for this match in Clash in Paris to get you interested and get you excited about that match. I think that segment might be what you're looking for. But outside of that, not really a whole lot else going on in the show that I would say was terribly exciting. But it was an inoffensive 2 hours. This is your WWE SmackDown review. It is Friday. It is August 22nd, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. We are closing out another week. Summer is almost over. Not yet, but it's almost over. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. I want to say thank you to Death Scythe, wherever you are, brother. Thank you for the 5 gifted memberships. Big G says he's watching SmackDown and he's watching the stream simultaneously right now. That might be a little weird as I go blow past some of the segments that you're going to be watching on your TV. But that's okay. I got you covered here. So go ahead and drop those super chats. I'll be reading all of your messages. I do appreciate all of the support. We've had some fun this week on Monday and Wednesday. So let's do it again here tonight. And let me set things up also for this weekend so everybody is aware. So tonight, obviously, this is a tape show as it is airing on USA right now. So we're going a little earlier with the stream. The podcast, the flagship, episode 926, I'm going to be recording that show tomorrow. And once I'm done recording, whether it's the afternoon, the evening, whenever it is, the podcast is going up a day early. So just be aware of that because Sunday is AEW Forbidden Door. And that has a 1 o'clock Eastern start time for the main card. I'll be watching Forbidden Door. Just like tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern is when I will be going live for the Forbidden Door post show. So not right after the pay-per-view, but a few hours later. That's on Sunday. Monday, Raw is in Birmingham, England. And you don't need a VPN for this one. 3 o'clock Eastern time on Netflix. It's going to be airing earlier on Netflix wherever you are. Or at least here in the U.S., I should say. So we'll be watching Raw earlier and going live again at 8 o'clock. That'll be on Monday night. I believe they're still... No, they're in Lyon. They're in Lyon, France for SmackDown next week. And then we have Clash in Paris next weekend. So this will be going on for a couple of weeks. So I just want you guys to be aware of the freaky schedule. It's only temporary. I don't mind these earlier shows. But yes, the main podcast will be dropping tomorrow, so just be aware of that. Doesn't Forbidden Door start at 1 p.m. London time? I don't know what it would be in London time, but I know for a fact that it's either 11 or 11:30 in the morning Eastern for the pre-show. And the main card starts at 1 o'clock Eastern. So you figure out whatever it is in London time. What are you guys, 5 or 6 hours ahead? That's what it is in London time, but it's definitely 1 p.m. Eastern. Just be aware. Some people might think it's 3 o'clock. It's not. It's 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Let's talk about SmackDown here. Is main event like Heat? Main event is like what Heat was at the very end before Heat died. If we're talking Sunday Night Heat like when it was first on the air in 98, Sunday Night Heat was a show you did not want to miss. Sunday Night Heat was, believe it or not, at one point getting 5.0 Nielsen ratings. It wasn't like that at the end of its run. So it depends on what era of Sunday Night Heat you're talking about, if you want to compare it to main event. All right, so main show on Sunday, 6 p.m. London time. That's what everybody is saying in the chat. 6 p.m. London time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. SmackDown opened with the hometown lad making her way over to SmackDown for one night only. Not that it matters, but the Women's Intercontinental Champion, Becky Lynch, from Limerick, only a couple of hours outside of Dublin. She was greeted with a hero's welcome, but that did not last very long once she really got into her promo here. Becky mentions that this is the first live WWE show ever from Dublin. She says that she remembered coming to this very building as a fan. She says that she remembered Randy Orton once making eye contact with her, and that was everything in her life. Just the fact that he stared at her was everything. There's a feud right there, just waiting in the wings to be exploited, Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. She says that she dreamed that they could one day have TV here. And now that it's actually happening, she gets to say, you don't deserve it. None of you deserve to be on TV. She said that she actually petitioned to get this show canceled. And the fans at this point, they turned on her something fierce. Actually started a We Want Lyra chant. And Becky leaned into it and says, you're not getting her. She can never challenge me for my championship again. Apparently Lyra is there. I don't know if she wrestled. She may have wrestled in a dark match or something maybe after the show. Because I know there were some members of the Judgment Day who were in the building. Lyra was apparently there. She was not on the show, though. Becky says none of the fans have a face for TV. So the fans don't appreciate her. She's aghast at the lack of media coverage that she's received. She says people talk about being let down by your heroes, but Becky says that she's let down by each and every one of the fans. She calls herself the greatest female wrestler of all time. She has achieved things that people thought were impossible. First woman to main event WrestleMania. Win the main event, no less, at WrestleMania. She's a best-selling author. She says Oscar Wilde and James Joyce never had a best-selling book, but she did. She's a Grand Slam champion, and she also got herself a hot American husband. That got her more heat. I love you too, Turner Bot. In the chat. Look at this. The Turner Bot is with us. With that, the fans started chanting for CM Punk after she mentioned Seth Rollins. She says nobody wants to see his old ass. She comes home. She says she gets off of her first-class jet. She walks through the airport. Doesn't even see her face. But she sees some rugby players and Katie Taylor. And Becky asks, can they cut a promo? Then she calls Bono. She calls Bono. Bono pretentious. And that's a very pretentious way of saying Bono's name. She calls Bono pretentious and says that he should take his sunglasses off when he's inside. Only pro wrestlers are allowed to do that. So then she's interrupted by Tiffany Stratton's music. She makes her way out to the ring. Tiffany asks how Becky can act that way towards the great people of Dublin. And she tells Becky that she's on the wrong show. Tiffany says everyone in Dublin knows what time it is. It's Tiffy time. She tells Rebecca she can leave. Or if you don't want to leave, I will make you leave. So then they are interrupted by Nia Jax's music. And she makes her way out to the ring. Nia asks Tiffany, why are you worried about Becky? She says, you got way more bigger problems than that. And they're standing right in front of you. And she throws a punch at Tiffany. Tiffany goes down. So now Nia's kicking the crap out of her. And Becky's looking at this and she just sort of shrugs her shoulders and is like, okay. Throws her belt down. She joins in. So now they're both putting the boots to Tiffany until Jade Cargill runs out to make the save. She puts down Nia with a bicycle kick, and Nia rolls out to the floor. Becky sneaking up behind Jade. Jade turns around. Becky backs up. Tiffany's back up now. She drop kicks Nia off the apron. And Becky then wisely exits. And with four women out there, gee, I wonder what's coming. Out comes Nick Aldis, who says he was excited to have Becky on the show, but then she had to get involved here. And so he just got off the phone with Adam Pearce. And he signed off on Becky actually wrestling tonight in the main event. Yet another week where Nick Aldis has no main event as the show goes on the air. But the main event tonight will be Becky Lynch and Nia Jax in a tag team match, taking on Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill. And that's your opening segment. The usual setup that we see almost every single week on this show, but the crowd made it fun. Because again, it's just the atmosphere was different than it normally is. These people are starved for a TV show and wanting to get their faces on TV and wanting to be a part of the show. And it was smart to send Becky out there to get them all riled up. So that made it more fun than it ordinarily would be. And Becky leaned into it, you know, full bore. She started things by getting all of the cheers and soaking up all of the cheers. And once she got that out of her system, she went full bore into heel mode. And the fans ate it up. And it made sense to, yeah, again, find a way to get her on the show. I wish they would have found a way to get Sheamus on the show. He was there. He did not appear on SmackDown. Sheamus wrestled one of the members of Pretty Deadly. The one that isn't injured, I think Kit Wilson. On Main Event. Aha, see? If you got Peacock, you can watch Main Event. You can watch Sheamus take on Kit Wilson. So, at least he got to be there. But it would have been nice to see him on the actual show. So the opening match, we had the Motor City Machine Guns taking on The Miz and Carmelo Hayes. Wade Barrett said the winners would advance to a number one contenders match on next week's show for a shot at the WWE Tag Team titles. Melo started for his team. He was showered with chants of, "We want Miz." "We want Miz," these people were saying. You know, if Vince McMahon was running this show, we would have the announcers nonstop talking about how it's a bizarro world. This is just a bizarro world that we're in. To be fair, it's not a chant that you would normally hear. It was kind of bizarre. So they were chanting, "We want Miz." Fans popped when Miz finally tagged in. Another first. Chris Sabin dove through Alex Shelley's legs for a dive out onto Melo and Miz. That took us into a commercial break. Hayes had Sabin down, went to the ropes for his finish. Miz tagged himself into the match, and Hayes dropped down. He bickered with Miz for a little bit about, "What are you doing?" Sabin sent Carmelo colliding into the Miz, who fell off the apron. Hayes put Sabin down with a codebreaker, and Sabin took this great exaggerated bump into the air for it. And then Shelley clotheslined Carmelo over the top rope. He dove out onto him. Meanwhile, Miz, he slipped back into the ring and steals the pin on Chris Sabin to win the match for his team. Miz and Melo advance to the number one contenders match on next week's show in Lyon. They talked about on commentary at the beginning of the match, and it might have been Wade Barrett, who talked about the lack of success that the Motor City Machine Guns have had. They've really hit a rut. They're trying to get something going. Haven't found a lot of recent success here on this show. Well, the streak continues because they didn't find any luck tonight either. Not that I was expecting them to win. I don't know if Miz and Melo are going to win that number one contenders match next week. They probably are. But I wasn't really expecting them to lose here. So it was kind of a lose-lose situation for the Machine Guns no matter what. Hayes, you know, he did not look happy about the outcome because Miz stole what should have been his win. And he was gloating and celebrating, and I mean, Miz was practically giddy about the fact that they are now moving on to the match next week. So this is the story they're telling. You know, Miz going in there and stealing all the glory. Obviously, it's going to explode at some point, and you would hope and assume that this is all building to a Carmelo Hayes babyface push. You know, we had babyface Miz. I mean, he was babyface tonight, according to these people. We had babyface Miz not that long ago. To me, you're not gonna have Hayes turn on him and turn Miz babyface, because it feels like we already saw that recently. So the way to go would be to elevate Hayes as a babyface out of this, and it seems they're building to that at some point. Maybe after they lose, if they lose next week, or if they go on to wrestle the Wyatts and they lose there, maybe it happens at that point. So we go backstage. And Kathy Kelly, "Hey, Jason." His name is spelled a little bit different. J-A-C-E-N. I don't think I've ever seen it that way before. Jason Havoc. I love it. Shout out, brother. Shout out to you and Big Ben and the Arizona Zombie and everybody else hanging out with me a little earlier than usual here on a Friday night. I hope you guys are enjoying yourself. I hope you're enjoying this stream more than SmackDown. Backstage, Kathy Kelly was interviewing Jimmy Uso on the pregnancy news that he and Naomi dropped on Monday and wished him also a happy birthday. And Jimmy spoke about all the love that he and Naomi have been getting all week from everybody. "And I do mean everybody," he says. And who walks in? Sami Zayn. And he is just ecstatic. He is so happy for Big Jim. He gives him a big hug. Zayn said he cried his eyes out when he heard the news. Said the baby would always have him as an uncle. Speaking of uncles, Solo Sikoa walked in with Tala Tonga, JC Mateo, and Tongaloa. Solo said the baby would have plenty of uncles in this family. Yeah, tell me about it. He also gave Jimmy the blessing of being able to name the baby after his favorite uncle, Solo. I think that's a fine idea. I think Solo is a great name. So after that, Jimmy looks at him and just goes, no yeet. Actually, he didn't say anything. He just kind of did the whole fucking yeet sign, and then Sammy translated and said that means no yeet. And Solo told Sammy, not to worry about babies. Worry about your U.S. championship. Solo mockingly asked, "If do I have to worry about underdog Sami Zayn?" Sami Zayn, it's not underdog Sami Zayn that you need to worry about. It's WrestleMania main eventer Sami Zayn. Goes, just ask this guy. He motions towards Jimmy. Jimmy goes, "Eh, he's right." They both share the WrestleMania main event in the same year. That was a great tag team match. Charlotte Flair, one half of the women's tag team champions, went one-on-one here on this show with Piper Niven, who had Chelsea Green and Alba Fire in her corner. Piper, early in the match, hit a boss man slam, and Joe Tessitore, he referred to it as such, before Wade Barrett corrected him and said, actually, Piper calls it the Winds of Change. She can call it whatever she wants. Will always be the Boss Man Slam. Or if you were a TNA fan, the Black Hole Slam. Just like when Piper goes up to do the Vader Bomb, right? They call it the Vader Bomb. I mean, they might call it the Piper Bomb every now and then, or the Viper Bomb. But it's the Vader Bomb. Some names are just timeless. Through the generations, they just stick. That's what the move is. Like, Sharpshooter is a name, think about it, right? Sharpshooter is a name that works for Bret Hart because he was the Hitman. Scorpion Deathlock, it works because it was Sting. But for everybody else who uses those moves, they call it either the Scorpion Deathlock or the Sharpshooter, right? Which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But it's always associated with one guy or maybe two guys. And that move is the same thing. You either think of the Big Boss Man or you think of Abyss. So she can call it whatever she wants to. Joe Tessitore, he was not wrong. So after the break, Charlotte landed, and I will be serious about this. I will be serious. Charlotte Flair landed the most picture-perfect in-ring moonsault that I have ever seen her hit before. Because so many times when she goes for a moonsault in the ring, she does outside the ring, and more often than not, it looks good. Sometimes it doesn't. But like in the ring, she'll always over-rotate. She's got those long legs. This was as perfect a moonsault as I've ever hit her or I've ever seen her hit. So she landed that flush. Didn't get the win with it. She only got a near fall with it. Charlotte then knocks Chelsea Green off the apron, locks on the figure eight on Piper, but Alba Fire is on the opposite side of the ring. She's on the apron now, distracting the referee. Chelsea reaches in and she rakes Charlotte's eyes. Referee didn't see it. Piper lifts Charlotte up for a Michinoku driver. She drives her into the mat and she pins Charlotte Flair right in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. And the crowd was shocked. So was I. Pleasantly so. I was pretty stunned myself, because you just assume, you see Piper Niven is going to be up next in a match, and you just assume that she's going to lose the match, because more often than not, that's exactly what happens here. So her going out there and not only winning, but pinning Charlotte Flair to win was very unexpected, and it now gives Charlotte a loss to avenge. And actually, that's 2 weeks in a row now that Charlotte and Alexa have been put down by Chelsea's crew, which is a nice change of pace, because again, normally you don't see that. You know, they can be entertaining. Chelsea's very entertaining, but like as a faction, the Secret Harvest, they have no credibility. Like when they come out there, people know what to expect with them. And if you're going to build them up for a women's tag team championship match, which is exactly what they're doing, because they already announced that Charlexa, as they're apparently calling themselves, Charlexa is going to be giving a tag team title match to Piper Niven and Alba Fire. That'll be in Lyon on the show next week. Alexa Bliss was not on the show. They were put down. She was put down last week, so she didn't make the trip. She wasn't there. But that tag team title match is now confirmed for SmackDown next Friday. We go backstage, and we see Kiana James and Julia. There she is. She wasn't on the show last week. So Julia's there looking fine as always. She had these white streaks in her hair. A little bit of a different look. And she's telling Julia, the United States champion, that she has a number of deals in the works for her. Meechan shows up and she says that she would like an appointment with the champ. Kiana tells Meechan all business inquiries for Julia go through her. And Meechan says that she doesn't appreciate all the missed calls, so she's going directly to the champion. Kiana says Meechan has to go through her first. And Meechan says that she will have no problem beating Kiana to get a title match. And Julia says that she is not worried. So the streak of Julia doing nothing of any real note on these shows continues. I have lost track of how many weeks this is now. The best thing I could say about it is that at least she was actually on the show, which is not always the case. At least she was present. But I'm also watching this because we didn't see her again for the rest of the show. She didn't wrestle on main event or any dark matches, I don't think. But like I'm looking at this and going, imagine like you're being flown all the way to Dublin for this show to do absolutely nothing. She did nothing. She barely spoke here in this segment. But then I look at it a different way and I say, well, they're paying her. And she gets to fly all the way to Ireland. And maybe she's never been to Ireland before. Gets to see the sights and hang out there maybe for a few days if that's what she wants to do. And she doesn't have to work. It's like a vacation. So maybe it isn't so bad. But the one thing I will say is that Julia is the United States champion. And for the people who say Julia is not over, you know, she's not over. She's not getting over. Yeah, no shit. It's kind of hard to do when you don't really have a story for her, when she's barely even on the show. She's a champion. And she just feels like a complete and total non-factor right now. That has to be corrected. Very, very soon. I mean, I made the comment last week. When it comes to both women's championships on this show, it is a dire situation. Yeah, the fact that we've injected Nia Jax back into the picture and the fact that there really aren't any other outside of Jade, obviously, who's going to be getting a rematch soon. There really are no other obvious strong challengers right now for Tiffany Stratton. That's awful. And the situation with Julia and the U.S. title is not much better. Something has to be done. Things have to be shaken up. New blood, perhaps, has to be added to this show. We've heard rumors in the past about Sol Ruka or Jordynne Grace. Something. And even then, and you can call up anybody you want to. They called up Julia. They brought back Kiana James. It hasn't made a difference. You could call up everybody in the world. You could sign timeless Tony Storm away from the clutches of Tony Khan. If you don't have a plan for her and she's barely on television, it doesn't matter. So let's get Julia on these shows. Let's get Julia in action. It doesn't always have to be a title match, but you want to try to get this woman over. Then actually make the effort to try to get her over. People still know next to nothing about her because they haven't bothered to tell you about her. They haven't bothered to flesh out her character. They haven't bothered to put the effort in. They put the bare minimum effort in. You know, she's the United States champion and she may as well not be. That has to be corrected. I'm a big fan of Julia's work. I don't disagree with the people who would watch her on the show and be nonplussed and say, I don't see what the big deal is. Yeah, no wonder. How are you supposed to see what the big deal is when they don't really do anything with her? You're not wrong. Now, after this right here, this was the key segment on the show tonight. Because after this, John Cena made his way out to the ring. And as soon as he got into the ring, and obviously he got a great ovation from the fans here in Dublin, he pitched it to Mark Nash at ringside for the introduction. The greatest of all time, the Never Seen 17, for the last time ever here in Dublin. He is the last real champion. John Cena. Everybody cheers. I should mention this, by the way, being that they were in Dublin. I don't know how many of you actually watched the match. The Vault Channel, the WWE Vault Channel on YouTube yesterday, they put out a never-before-seen triple threat match. I am not aware of it being released on any video. I mean, maybe it was on a John Cena documentary DVD once upon a time as a bonus or something, but I don't think it's ever been released before. And it was from a WWE event in June of 2005 that was held in Dublin. It was a triple threat match for the WWE Championship. John Cena defending the title against Kurt Angle and JBL. And the special guest referee, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'd never seen this before. It's like a 10-minute match. Pretty basic stuff, but very cool. Anytime I get to see something that I never saw before and that I did not know happened, that's what I like seeing on the Vault Channel. That's what the Vault is very useful for. So that match is up right now if it's something that you are interested in seeing. Cool setting, too. They were outdoors. Where were they? It was an outdoor arena. I think the RDS arena. I don't know if it's still there, but it's a cool venue seeing it outdoors like that. So we had John Cena in the ring. And before Cena could even get a word out, he's interrupted by Logan Paul's music. And Logan Paul makes his way out to the ring. He insults the Dublin fans. He says he's going to make it short with John, who he said at this point is more of an actor who happens to know how to wrestle. The fans wouldn't let him speak, and they were drowning him out with chants of shut the fuck up, which he pointed out were being censored on TV, so nobody was going to hear it. It was very annoying. Multiple times here as he spoke, they chanted shut the fuck up, and they kept muting the audio off and on, off and on. But he was very upset that people still call him an outsider. First of all, there will only ever be two outsiders, okay? Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Those are the only outsiders that I will tolerate. I should just start reviewing the Vault. You know what? It's not a bad idea. Got some great stuff up there. But yes, he was very upset that people are still calling him an outsider. And he says, How? He's been doing this now for 4 years. He's been doing this longer than some of the people have been on the roster for. When are the fans going to accept him? Because he is exactly who he says he is. He called John Cena a corporate stooge who does what he's told, listens to management like a good little dog. Logan Paul, though, does what he wants. And if he wants to get attention, he doesn't have to get naked at the Oscars to get it. Cena said it himself, Logan is a moment maker. He's an eyeball magnet. They kept chanting, shut the fuck up. So again, they kept censoring the audio. Who is the imposter? Says the guy who goes out and has kick-ass matches or the guy who's been doing the same five moves for the last 23 years? Says who's the imposter? The guy who leaves this ring to go pretend to be somebody else? Or the guy who stays to be himself? He says he's not signing a cohabitation agreement. This is his house now. A little total divas dig there. Right? Wasn't that the whole thing with John Cena and Nikki Bella? He wanted her to sign a cohabitation agreement because he's out of his mind? Yeah, if you ever... What little bit I saw of John Cena back in the Total Divas, because I did not watch Total Divas. I gave up pretty quickly on Total Divas. I know Total Divas welcomed a whole generation of new female fans. I know some of them. So that's very good. I was not in the demographic for that show. But what little I saw of John Cena on that show, he was 100% a heel on that show. Like, I would listen to John Cena and get, like, American Psycho vibes. Man, if they would have pulled the trigger years ago, I'm telling you, he would have been a great heel. I don't know what the fuck that was we got this year, but they were a good 12 or 13 years too late on that one. So Cena finally spoke. He said his first words. And he put Logan over. When you're about to have a match with somebody on a major event like they're doing next weekend, that's what you want to do. Like, over the years, there have been examples of heels that have gone out there, and I feel like Triple H did this a lot during the Reign of Terror, where he would just bury his opponent on the microphone, like tear them down. You're this, you're that, you don't deserve it, you're a joke, right? All this stuff. And it's like, well, you want me to take this person seriously as an opponent for you? Doesn't really make a lot of sense to say things like that, right? You don't deserve it, you suck. It's like, okay, if you go out there and beat the guy, well, if he sucks, who gives a shit, right? You said he sucks. Of course, you should beat him. In this case, John Cena is building up his opponent for Clash in Paris. Because there are people who will look at this match and go, oh, man, you know, they're burning a John Cena match on Logan Paul. Who cares about Logan Paul? He's not a real wrestler. He's, you know, he's garbage. He's this and that. And so Cena here makes sure at the beginning of his promo to put this guy over. And he says that Logan Paul is a future WWE champion. Says Logan Paul is a future WrestleMania main eventer. These are things he believes to be true. And boy, they make him upset. Said for years, the fans have been calling Logan everything, but they've settled on this one term for him. And before he could say what that term was, the fans began chanting wanker. Or he's a wanker. And Cena said, well, that's not the term he was thinking of, but the term actually that he keeps hearing is outsider. Cena said, he's not leaving. Referring to Logan Paul, because the fans are booing and insulting him. And he goes, guys, he's not leaving. He goes, we're stuck with him. Logan Paul is not an outsider. Logan Paul is a disappointment. Because they were so excited when he came here. Cena even sat with him on his podcast for hours. They opened their arms to him. And instead of respecting this house, what does he do? Cena went outside at this point, left the ring. And he walked over. They have that prime hydration station outside next to the announcers. He goes over there and he says he uses them. He uses them as some branding opportunity to buy another Pokemon card. Or as he said, a Pokemon card. And then at that point, he pushes the card over and all the prime bottles go flying. So then he gets back in the ring and he continues on. He goes, on top of that, Logan has the audacity to come out here and bully his family and then brag to him that he puts his life on the line for a grand total of 23 matches. Wow. Wow, 23. He said that's an amazing number because he has given his heart and soul to this business for 23 years. You understand? And that's not just PLEs or TVs or pay-per-views. That's non-televised events here in Dublin for the people who give a damn. In 2010, he fought Sheamus here with no cameras. Says Logan was making Vine videos at the time with his brother. You see, Logan, you got all this potential, but that's the one difference between me and you. Every time he steps in this ring, whether he's got 100 moves, 5 moves, or just one move, all he does is ask one question. And his track record proves it. What can he give to the business? The reason the fans gave him, being Logan, a hard time is because he's slimy. It's what can I take from the business? It doesn't matter how fast you can run. It doesn't matter how high you can jump or how many viral videos that you can create. These people see through BS and they know he's here for the wrong reasons. Logan Paul's not an outsider. He's a parasite. The truth is, he sucks everything he can out of this business. He has sucked opportunity away in his, Cena's, final moments of deserving superstars like Dom Mysterio, AJ Styles, and Seth Rollins, and the Usos, and Jacob Fatu, just to name a few. And at that point, the fans began chanting loudly for AJ Styles. Cena says, see? They want those legendary matches, and the fans think he's wasting his time with Logan. He said Logan was lucky. He was first in line to ask for a match, and now he's got one. And at Clash in Paris, that is now the most important match of Logan's life. Logan knows a lot about hustle, but he knows nothing about loyalty or respect. And the one thing you'll learn is this is never your house. He goes, I learned the hard way. this is their world. And as far as cohabitation agreements, I read the news, homie. You got plenty of legal trouble. The only agreement we have is you better bring your A-game to Paris. You understand that? Because your opponent is the greatest of all time. You really think in my final moments here, I'm just going to let you waltz into Paris with your drone behind you like some back-flipping YouTuber selling salt water? You're in for a long night. Clash in Paris, you will either understand what it means to give yourself up to this business that I love, or I'm going to beat the ever-loving shite out of you. So at that point, Logan, he doesn't like what he's just been told, and he smacks Cena's hat off his head. And Cena restrains himself, and Logan gives him a one-arm shove. And Cena's holding back, and then finally Logan shoves him with both hands. And then he tries to take a shot at Cena, and Cena ducks it, scoops him up for an attitude adjustment, and down goes Logan Paul. And that is how John Cena left. He left with Logan Paul laying flat on his back in the middle of the ring. This was one hell of a fucking promo from John Cena. Like, even his delivery at certain points of the promo where he kind of got more serious and he was right up in Logan's face. This was great stuff. This was one of the, if not the, one of the best promo segments of his entire retirement run. We're now 8.5 months in to his retirement run. And this was one of the best that he's done so far. And honestly, when I was done watching this, I said, man, this is what they took from us. For those 4.5 months where he was running around playing heel and, you know, you heard fans in the crowd during this segment chanting a lot of different things at Logan Paul. One of the things they were chanting was like phony. He's, you know, he's a fraud. And they were saying all kinds of things about him. And that's kind of how I felt about John Cena on a lot of those weeks where he would come out there and be cutting these repetitive promos on the fans that didn't really have a lot of substance behind it. I'm like, he's not being genuine. I don't believe him. I don't believe that he is genuinely angry and upset at the fans, but this is the approach that they decided to take for this heel turn. And that's a big part of why it didn't work. It just felt like he was going out there every week. Yes, on a television show where people play characters, but it felt like he's on a television show playing a part. There was nothing genuine about it. It felt phony. For me anyway, that's a big part of why that just didn't work. Now when he's out here doing this, I mean, there are times where John Cena will go a little over the top and he gets a little too goofy or he gets a little too sentimental and it's all mushy and shit. But you know what? When you see him in a segment like this and he's saying all these things that he was saying, that is genuine John Cena that you see on TV. Again, there was a window many, many years ago where I think he would have made a tremendous heel. Back when he was still full-time and, you know, back when he would have really, if that's the approach they wanted to take with it, he would have had all the reasons in the world to go after the fans. But that's a lifetime ago. I mean, it's like a whole generation ago. This is the John Cena that we should have been getting. If that was the approach they were going to take with that heel turn and the way it all fell apart, no Rock and everything else, then it never should have happened in the first place, right? Hindsight being what it is. Now he's only got a handful of appearances left. And he's throwing out all these names here. And one of the names, and I will point out to you, you know, one of the names that he threw out here was AJ Styles. And you heard the AJ Styles chants from those fans in Dublin. And AJ wasn't on the show. But I noticed that right away. And I was like, man, that's one of those matches that I wish we could get one more time. I honestly don't know that we're going to get it. I hope that WWE was listening, and at some point between now and the end of the year, I guess December 13th, it's been confirmed now is going to be his final match. We need one more Cena Styles match before all is said and done. Again, I don't know if it's going to happen, but man, they had such a great series of matches together, and I'm sure, I know it was many, many years ago, but I'd love to see it again. But this was excellent stuff. It is worth going out of your way to see. If you didn't see it, in full, the entire, at least the Cena portion of the segment. And he just spent 5 minutes in the ring, staring at Logan Paul and running this man down. And I'm careful not to say burying him. This was less of a burial And it was just more of him pointing out a lot of very truthful things that a lot of fans think and feel about Logan Paul, you know, when they see him on the show. But he did it in a way where he built him up before he tore him down. This was the opposite of what you saw with him and Roman Reigns, for example, back in 2017. What you saw with John Cena and Roman Reigns when they had their battle, their promo battle back and forth before their first match together, he ethered that man. Like John Cena, he embarrassed Roman Reigns. Like I go back sometimes or it'll pop up in my feed and I'll see that Roman Reigns, right? The big dog in the ring with John Cena. I don't even recognize who that is. Like when I compare that to the Roman Reigns of today, I don't even recognize that person. And John Cena, he just went out there and he was just himself. Roman just got outclassed. It's also very different than what we got with John Cena and Austin Theory going into their match at WrestleMania 39. John Cena buried that man 6 feet under. That was not a situation where he was out there really putting him over before he, you know, tore him down. He just tore him down. Like he flat out looked this kid in the eye and said, "You ain't ready." And all the other things that he said about him, I mean, he basically set him on fire and watched him burn. That's not what this was. And I thought it was very smart for him to build Logan up first at the beginning the way that he did and put him over for his abilities. Because he is very talented. You know, he was the MVP of that tag team match at SummerSlam. You know, Logan's resume, he's got a lot of really great matches on his resume against all the key stars. All the key stars. Including Roman Reigns, including Cody Rhodes. And John Cena, you don't know what you're going to get. We got something great with him and Cody at SummerSlam. We had something really good with him and Randy Orton and with CM Punk. So we know he still has it in him. So much of it depends on who he's in the ring with. Logan is still at a point in his career where you hear stories, you know, before his big matches of him back home in Puerto Rico in the ring practicing, you know, practicing spots and going through the match. And so you don't know what you're going to get. I am optimistic that these two can go out there and have a really good match. It may not be as great as what we saw at SummerSlam with him and Cody, but I think they could go out there and have a really good match. Now, in the back, after the commercial break, Logan was shown walking. He was not happy. And he was walking down the hallway. And he crossed paths with Drew McIntyre, his new friend of late, his tag team partner. And McIntyre said that Logan is scared of the mystique of John Cena. McIntyre said, "It's not 2010. It's no longer Super Cena. There is no Super Cena anymore." He said that Logan is in his prime and he needs to make things right tonight, no matter what it takes. And Logan, you know, nodded his head. He went to go leave and McIntyre stopped him and he reiterated, "Whatever it takes." So that was a nice little hook there to stay tuned to the rest of the show because something might happen. And something did happen at the very end of the show. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Don't get burned by your wireless bill. Don't do it. You should be out enjoying the summer, traveling, going to barbecues, hitting the beach. The sun might burn you, but don't let your wireless provider do the same. That's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile. I could only see Ryan Reynolds on my TV so many times before I had to see what all the fuss was about for myself. And my only regret is that I wish I would have made the switch sooner. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed that you're used to, but for a lot less than you're paying right now. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for just $15 a month. That's less than half the cost of an AEW pay-per-view. And as great as those can be to watch, you'll get a lot more use out of this. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plan and those depressing monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to be your knight in shining armor. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number with you, along with all of your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for only $15 a month. In the time I've been using Mint, I can't say that I've had any complaints about their service. It's been fast, reliable. I haven't had to deal with any drop calls or, "Hey, you sounded like you were underwater there for a minute." I'm not underwater. I am not a fish. I'm very much a land mammal. And that's how I should sound when I'm on the phone with someone. Plus, when I see my bill now as compared to what it used to be, it really drives home how many people there are out there paying way more than they should be for the same basic service. If you fall into that category, it's not too late to make the switch. In fact, now is a great time to make the switch with this special offer to Sound Off listeners. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. We had the Street Profits taking on the great Tongaloa. I know you're all very excited about this. The MFTs were in action. Tongaloa and JC Mateo. The winners would go on to wrestle The Miz and Carmelo Hayes in a number one contenders match next week. And the winner of that match will then challenge the Wyatt Six for the WWE Tag Team titles. So after a commercial break, Montez Ford, he dodged a running strike from JC. Tongaloa tagged into the match. Ford managed to throw him out of the ring as Angelo Dawkins got the hot tag. Dawkins lifted up Mateo on his shoulders. Could not quite get the electric chair drop down. Ford now, who was the legal man, wanted to head up top for something. Whatever it was he had in mind. He was heading up to the top rope. But Solo Sikoa's distraction allowed Tala Tonga to intervene. This led to Mateo delivering the tour of the islands on Montez Ford. And Ford kicked out when he went for the pin. So Jimmy Uso ran out. He hit Tala Tonga with a chair. Boy, does this sound like... I mean, is this deja vu or is this deja vu? Does it not feel like this is exactly what happens every single week? The MFTs are out there. Jimmy Uso doesn't come down the aisle. He comes out of the crowd. He attacks them. Like, I feel like I'm watching it on repeat. I'm watching these segments on repeat is what it feels like. Every single week. So he goes after Tala Tonga. They brawl into the crowd. Solo Sikoa stands up on top of the announce desk. He's trying to get a view on where they are and what's going on. And he doesn't see that Sami Zayn showed up at ringside. And he swept his legs right out from under him. Then he hit Solo with a modified Huluva kick. Inside the ring, Ford hit the huge frog splash. The best frog splash in the business. And he covers and pins JC Mateo for the win. Decent enough little match here that sends the Street Profits to SmackDown next week in the number one contenders match, which makes sense. I know the fans were chanting, "We want Miz," which again is just a bizarre thing to hear. It's kind of like when the fans started chanting, "We want Charlotte," not that long ago. I felt the same way. I'm like, what is going on here? They wanted Charlotte, and they tagged in Charlotte, and then everybody went nuts. I go, boy. This is a strange feeling here. Despite that, Miz and Mello are a heel team. And so to send the MFTs to the show next week to wrestle Miz and Mello would have been pretty lame. So they needed a babyface team to go over here. This was the Street Profits match to lose. So them getting the win makes sense to me. Now, we were supposed to get a match on this show between Aleister Black and R-Truth. And that match did not happen. Aleister Black made his way to the ring, and there's no R-Truth. And instead, R-Truth appears on the Tron. And he said that he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. It looked like he was sitting on an airplane or in an airport. But he said he's not going to be able to make it tonight because he ended up in Dublin, Georgia instead. Ha ha ha! We got Goofy Truth back. So yes, he went to the wrong Dublin. And he ended up in Georgia. So that's the bad news. Not going to be able to wrestle tonight. The good news, though, is that he put a call in to a good friend of his, and he's going to come out right now to take his place. And out comes Damian Priest, who was looking for revenge after getting his jaw broken by Black 3 weeks ago. So they brawled briefly until referees ran out and security geeks ran in to break them up. They had a hell of a time keeping them apart, but they did manage to separate them. And that was it. That was all we got. Now, after this, as Joe Tessitore was sitting at ringside with Wade Barrett, Joe was giving us an update on the medical condition of the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, which he could not provide us with last week because he just didn't have one. So 1 week later now, he's going to give us an update on the WWE champion. And the medical update is that they still had no medical update. Which is pretty fucking ridiculous if you think about it. Like, but seriously, like, they're treating Cody Rhodes like Hulk Hogan in the last 2 months that he was alive in the hospital where nobody can get any medical updates on him. We're going to have to rely on Bubba the Love Sponge to start giving us medical updates on Cody Rhodes on his radio show. Why is it so difficult to get medical updates on the WWE champion? I don't know. Drew McIntyre would like to know, because McIntyre came out from the crowd and he's looking around the announce desk, and I don't know what he's looking for. He's looking for Cody. And he sees their papers, the announcer's papers on the desk, and maybe he just assumes that there's some sort of medical update in the papers. So he grabs the papers, and he goes to stand up on the announce desk, and he ends up throwing the papers down, takes the mic, and he goes, I'll give you all an official update on Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a little bitch. Big cheer from the fans here in Dublin. But he's giving Cody a gift. He's giving Cody the gift of more time. So hold that title tight, kick the wife out of bed and sleep with it, because inevitably you're going to have to fight Drew McIntyre. One of the few people, he says, to have pinned Cody Rhodes in WWE, and the next time he pins him, he's taking that title. And again, the fans cheer. McIntyre asked the crowd to guess how many people backstage have chastised him or told him off for what he did when he attacked Cody Rhodes a few weeks ago. He said that the number was zero because they all want Cody's spot. McIntyre said Cody had no friends left. And as he continued to talk, we see in the background, just snuck up behind him in the ring, is Randy Orton. Might be Cody's only friend left. And he's waiting and he's stalking, and then McIntyre turns around and he eats an RKO out of nowhere. And everybody loses their minds because they were not expecting to see Randy Orton on the show. He was not advertised and we haven't seen him in many, many weeks. Now, they didn't make any official announcements. That to me feels like a Clash in Paris match. I would think they would want some more European talent on that show. And you know, the match between Cody and Drew, it did not feel like a Clash in Paris match. Cody would have had to have been back on the show tonight. The fact that he did not return tonight, that leaves one SmackDown left, which is 48 hours before the Clash in Paris show. That's just not enough time. It's not enough time to build up a WWE title match. You already have a World Heavyweight Championship Fatal 4-Way on that show. You really don't need to have two world title matches. Take your time. Build that up for WrestlePalooza. That sounds like a WrestlePalooza match, September 20th. You could do Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton at Clash in Paris. It's a way to get them both on the show. All right, Randy Orton got a big reaction when he came out in Lyon last year at Backlash. He may have asked to be on the show. You got to get me on the show, man. Bring my wife. Got a big reaction. You could do Randy and Drew on that show, but if they do, Drew's going to win. Drew, I feel like Drew almost has to win if he's going to get the next shot against Cody. But that feels like a Clash in Paris match to me. The main event of the show was a tag team match. It was Becky Lynch and Nia Jax against Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill. Becky and Stratton, they started things out before Tiffany took down Nia and Becky with a dive out to the floor. And while Stratton tried to get back inside, Becky was holding onto her leg. And Nia hit her with a leg drop. We went to the final commercial break of the night at that point. After a commercial break, the final commercial break, we got some work between Jade and Becky. Jade hit a spine buster. Becky tried to go up top. She got caught, though. And Jade hit her with a fall-away slam, then kipped up. Then Becky ate a tilt-a-whirl sit-out powerbomb. Becky managed to kick out at two. Nia got the tag as she snuck up on Jade while Becky ran off. Jade avoided the Annihilator. She slipped underneath Nia, hit a powerbomb instead. Stratton tagged in, hit the prettiest moonsault ever on Nia, but before she did, Jade had tagged herself in again. And so Jade followed with a frog splash and the win for her team. This wasn't really much of a match here. We'll talk more about that in a second. But that was your main event. That is how the show would have gone off the air had they not stuck this one little segment in there at the very end. Because after this, they cut to the back and we see John Cena exiting his dressing room. And he's got a cheesy smile on his face. And he's going to leave when Nick Aldis runs up behind him. And Aldis has a message. He says, "I just got off the phone with Brock Lesnar." And before he could deliver the news, whatever this news was, to John Cena, Logan Paul flew in with a knockout shot, a right hand that missed by 6 inches. But down goes Cena as Logan screams, "I'll see you in Paris," and he runs off. And Aldis goes back to check on John Cena, and Cena's just laying on the ground. He's all loopy. And that is how they went off the show. Or went off the air with the show, I should say. That is how SmackDown ended. As far as the women's tag team main event, one of the issues I had with this show here, again, the Cena promo was the highlight of the night. I thought the opening promo with Becky and the heel work that she was doing was also pretty fun. And we got the surprise return with Randy Orton, right? Dropping McIntyre with an RKO. Outside of that, it was just a show where nothing else really stood out. And one of the issues, especially in the latter part of the show, the matches just felt rushed. Like, I don't know. I'm going to assume that that was always the plan, you know, what they did with Aleister Black and Damian Priest. But we ended up getting no match at all. The tag team match in the main event, it just felt very rushed. It really wasn't much of a match. You know, you had some star power in there with Becky being in the match and Tiffany is the champion. But there were segments towards the end of the show that just felt very rushed, as if something earlier in the show had gone long and required certain things to be cut for time. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cena segment ended up going a little long and that's what did it. Because there's nothing else on the show I could think of that, you know, would have caused that. But maybe that was the case with the Cena segment. So, you know, look, it was mildly better than SmackDown has been lately. You know, even like the Charlotte Piper Niven thing, it was a pleasant surprise to see Piper Niven pick up the win, sets up the tag team title match for next week. You know, they move things along. There just isn't a lot to get excited about with this show. And so you rely on a show like this where they go somewhere where they've never done TV before. And a lot of these international places are going to have hot crowds anyway. I would expect the same for Raw Monday and then SmackDown in France next Friday. So the crowd can make the show feel a lot more fun and lively. And so you kind of, I look forward to that, but you still need the substance there. Like, what is actually going on the show that's pulling you in and drawing you in and making SmackDown a must-see show? The answer is nothing. There is nothing like that. So I love the Cena promo, but my God, I mean, there's nothing on this show right now that just grabs you and makes you go, man, SmackDown's on fire right now, you know, because SmackDown in the past has gone through these stretches where they have been on fire and the shows are just, you know, kicking ass. And it's like, man, SmackDown's kicking Raw's ass. And then maybe it swings the other way and it's like Raw's kicking SmackDown's ass. Raw and SmackDown are not kicking anybody's ass right now. Neither show, honestly, is giving you a whole hell of a lot of reasons to tune in live every single week and get excited about it. SmackDown has been horrendous for weeks. So this was a step up from those horrendous shows, but it's still missing something. And it doesn't help that there are names who are still missing and they're building a big story around a guy who we haven't even seen since SummerSlam. Yeah, that stuff doesn't help. But SmackDown is still missing that ingredient, you know, to make it must see again, where you want to tune in because those 2 hours are going to be, you know, 2 hours where you feel like you didn't waste your time watching it. And SmackDown just isn't delivering the goods these days. But that Cena promo is a segment that you should absolutely go out of your way to see. That may have been his best work on the mic since coming back. Now, I didn't put a poll up for the show. didn't really make sense to me. I could have put one up in the chat, I guess, but it just didn't make sense to put one up on Twitter when so many people hadn't seen the show yet. But I will. I have not checked the final results. This was a poll I put up on Wednesday in lieu of a Dynamite poll. So after the news came out about WrestlePalooza, which is going to be going head-to-head with AEW All Out, I put a poll up asking people on X, which show, if any, which show will you plan on watching live? I know we don't know the full cards yet, but just at this moment, which show do you think you'll be watching live? WrestlePalooza or All Out? Let's take a look at the final results of this poll. So with 3,216 votes in, 57.8% voted for WrestlePalooza. 42.2% voted for AEW All Out. And maybe I'll throw another one up there in a few weeks once these cards get fleshed out a little bit more, and we'll see how that might change. So WrestlePalooza, the easy winner here. I wouldn't call this a landslide. They're not running away with it. But, you know, 58 to 42, it's a pretty definitive outcome there. But that's as of August 22nd. I'll put the poll up on, September 15th, maybe, and we'll see if the results are any different at that point.
Look at Richie Rich over here dropping all this money on me. Hey, I just want you to know, I think you
rock. Look at this.
I don't mean the rock, a rock, you rock. And I just wanted you to know that.
That's my boy Boots coming in with a $100 Super Chat bomb. Hey Boots, how you doing, man? Good to hear from you. I always love it when Boots drops a bomb. It's always a good night when he does that. Yes, WrestlePalooza. What a name. Goes back many years. What a name. All right, we're currently sitting at 328 likes. Again, 400 is the minimum goal to do Be the Booker. We do have another goal going on in the chat. We're actually 11 out of 15 on that one. But let's start from the beginning here. And then we'll catch up to what you see on screen. Because, I don't know, these early ones, man, they don't pop up on the list here. Death Scythe, starting us out. Says, I rewatched the six-pack challenge for the vacant WWF title at Unforgiven 99, and what a mistake it was putting the British Bulldog in the match to replace The Undertaker instead of Test, considering he was over during the summer. Yeah, the British Bulldog had no business being in that match. Yeah, it's sad, but I kind of look at the Bulldog's return in 99 the way I look at Randy Savage's late run in WCW, where I try to actively forget it because I just look back at it and I get sad watching it because they were both so far past their prime and their bodies were just so ravaged at that point. And Bulldog had a lot of drug issues. Savage had a lot of drug issues in a different kind of way. Just look at him. But yeah, I was not a fan of that Bulldog run. I was. But you know what? He took the losing fall in that match. Maybe that's why he ended up in that match. Tommy Colella with the $20 Super Chat says, I was excited about Madden coming out. I got it downloaded on my PS5. First song they played was Fiend. Oh, God. Fiend. I thought the nightmare of Mania 41 returned. I turned it off and I have not played. Why do I deserve torture like this? Why do any of us? Why do any of us deserve torture like that? Nobody should be subjected to that. I'm very sorry, Tommy. Denim Jeans Bulldog. Yeah, he was wrestling in tight jeans during that run. He had a hardcore title run, I think, during that period, right? And then he wrestled The Rock, and he got rock-bottomed onto a pile of literal dog shit. Yeah, I think the less said about that run for the Bulldog, the better. Victor, when will WWE do one-on-one with Rhea and Bianca? Not soon enough for me. That's a WrestleMania match one day. I got my eye towards Rhea and Stephanie at WrestleMania in Vegas next year, but Rhea and Bianca has to be done one-on-one. As great as that triple threat was this year, I need a one-on-one match between them. We will get it at some point, and I think it should be a WrestleMania match. I just don't know if it's next year's WrestleMania or the WrestleMania after that. Joseph Stewart. Buy or sell Gary Busey as the bad guy in Lethal Weapon, or Gary Busey as the bad guy in Under Siege? I liked him in both. I gotta go Lethal Weapon, though. Joseph says, did you watch the In the Heat of the Night TV show and In the Heat of the Night, the movie with Sidney Poitier? Believe it or not, I did not. I didn't see the movie or the TV show. TV show had, who played Archie Bunker? Carol O'Connor. Right? Carol O'Connor was in the Heat of the Night. Never watched it. Buy or sell The Waltons or Little House on the Prairie? That was before my time. I'm going to go neither. I'm not buying on either one. Death Scythe. Also, what was your first Mario and Sonic games? Mine was Super Mario 64 and Sonic Adventure. I'm really dating myself here. My first was the original Super Mario Brothers. The first one. The one with the different levels, and you got to climb the ladder and go up. And then Sonic was the first one. The first Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog rocked, man. Sonic was awesome. Still is. That was from Death Scythe. Joseph says, buy or sell Andy Griffith as Andy Taylor or Andy Griffith as Ben Matlock? This is an easy one for me. It's Andy Griffith as Ben Matlock. Easily. Like, no question. It's Matlock. Also, do you remember the TV show Silk Stockings? Of course. Many times I would be watching Raw and then Silk Stockings would go on and the theme song to Silk Stockings was great. It's actually a great song. Joseph says, when Sid turned on Shawn, was it originally supposed to be Sid turning babyface and not Shawn Michaels? No. It was designed exactly the way that it was intended. Also, if Austin versus Bret had happened at WrestleMania 14, do you think Austin versus Shawn Michaels would have happened at WrestleMania 15 the next year? I have no idea because so much of it was dependent on Shawn's physical condition. You know, I do wonder if Shawn was healthy and could wrestle that night. I mean, he wrestled that night, but I mean, like, the injury wasn't really a concern, let's say. And Bret was still around. I think Bret was definitely in a position where I think he would have dropped the title to Austin and finally put Austin over, which he never did. You know what? I take that back. He put Austin over without Austin ever actually beating him in a match. What Bret did for Austin, even though Austin never got to pin Bret Hart, you know, one-on-one, which I think would have eventually happened if Bret stuck around, as important as that would have been, Bret did far more for him and put him over in a different kind of way that I think was far more impactful to his career. So I had to qualify that answer. Because to say that Bret Hart never put over Steve Austin is just such a demonstrably false statement. People just think about putting people over in terms of wins and losses, and that's just not true. I actually think that we might have gotten the what I guess would have been the first ever triple threat match on a WWE pay-per-view. I think they might have done that for the main event of WrestleMania 14. It would have been Austin, Bret, and Shawn. Because otherwise, there's no good place to put Shawn. I can't think of another place on the card for him. And you know, he would have pitched a fit if he wasn't going to be in the main event that night. So I think we could have had a triple threat match on that show. But I still feel like it's important. It would have been important for Brett to be the one to do the job to Austin. Even if it was a triple threat match. Because they had done some, but I don't recall them ever doing one on a pay-per-view, by that point, right? We had gotten a four-way match, right? That final four match in 97. But unless I'm just totally blanking here, I don't think they had done a triple threat on pay-per-view yet. Maybe TV. TV, I'm almost sure they did. Oh, we got Holiday 197. Says, and now we're finally caught up with this list here. Hey, Solo, I really think they should put the women's U.S. title on Charlotte to elevate it. Becky is doing well elevating the women's IC belt. I don't disagree with putting the U.S. title on a bigger name, being something that probably would benefit the championship, whether it's Charlotte or somebody else, that's up for debate. I wouldn't hate it. Quizzical one. What did Ice Cube say to the baby seal? We be clubbing. Happy Friday, Solo. ExpressVPN.com/Solomonster. I love Quiz. Always looking out for the show, man. Telling you, you've been holding out on a VPN. Now's a good time to get in on the fun. That's how I watch the show today. Natasha says, I am back. Solo family. Sorry it's been a while. Took my son to a lot of meet and greets for SummerSlam and had a birthday party for my youngest girl to handle. Hope everything is well with you and the community here. I will be around again. That is music to my ears. I'm glad to have you back, Natasha. Thank you for the $150 super chat. That is very generous of you. She is awesome. Let's get a This Is Awesome. I should program that in here. Yeah, This Is Awesome chant for Natasha. Love it. Oh, the meet and greets went well too. But to pick up with Chris Lloyd. Says, I lost 11 pounds in 3 days. Couldn't eat or sleep. I went to the ER. I weighed 122. Going on a nutrition program. Going to be a journey to get my weight back. I don't know what precipitated this. Sounds serious, but I hope you're doing better, and I wish you all the best on your journey. Yeah, 122. I mean, 11 pounds in 3 days, that's not good. So hopefully you get the weight back up, and whatever caused this hopefully is behind you. But thank you, Chris. Joseph Stewart, do you think Dominic Mysterio will be John Cena's final opponent and that he will pass the torch to Dominic? I don't. I do not think that Dom, even though Cena name dropped him in his promo tonight, I do not believe that Dom will be the final opponent. I think they could do a little bit better than that. I think they could do a little bit better. I know Dom's got a bright future ahead of him, but I don't think he's the right person for that spot. Duff's Vid says, what did Watson say when he was constipated? No shit, Sherlock. Thank you for the ExpressVPN promo. Very easy to use. I'm glad that you can make use of it. I've had to explain. I almost thought about doing a video. I've had to explain it to a lot of people who have not used VPNs before and have no idea how they work. Because it is a weird concept if you're not really familiar with it. And obviously, beyond using it for wrestling purposes, it's got security benefits. Encrypting your data and all kinds of stuff like that. I use it on my phone and my tablet when I'm on the road for House of Glory and stuff. So, happy to explain it if anybody needs any help. It's not that hard. It's actually very easy to use. So, Duffs, I'm glad you're getting use out of it. Death Scythe, Leprechaun in the Hood is one of my guilty pleasures, and the rap song will never not be catchy. I haven't seen Leprechaun in the Hood in a long time. It's like Jason in space. Go from Jason in space to Leprechaun in the Hood. Duff's Vids, how do trees get on the internet? They log in. Trees log in. See? Thank you, Duffs. Joseph Stewart, have you seen the TV show Marcus Welby, MD? I can tell you right now, I've never heard of this show before I even read the rest of the Super Chat, which just disappeared on me. Marcus Shelby, MD, with Roberto Young, the dad from Father Knows Best, and James Brolin. I've never heard of this show. I only just recently became familiar with Chicago MD with Oliver Platt, which is actually a really good show. Oliver Platt's awesome on that show. I've only watched it through clips, official clips on YouTube. I've been kind of addicted to them lately. I feel like I've been watching these episodes just in clip form. So I know Chicago MD. I don't know about Marcus Welby MD. Duff's Vids, a wife got so mad at her husband that she packed his bags and told him to get out, and then yelled, "I hope you die a long, slow, painful death." He turned and said, So what? You want me to stay? No ESPN for me, LOL VPN. Well, I thought this was going to be a joke about, like, the AEW pay-per-views, because they're so long. I feel like that would have been a better punchline. Did I ever get into Frasier? I like Frasier on Cheers. I just never really got into Frasier as a standalone show. But he was great on Cheers. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. Say what you want about Cena, but solo, we can agree. A dialed-in Cena on the mic is dangerous, and he proved it again. I hated the ending, though. Well, they had to put some heat back on Logan, because Cena's not losing to Logan Paul. I know they have one more SmackDown left. You know, but if Cena would have just kind of put him in his place the way he did tonight, and then he goes on and just beats him at Clash and Power, like, he had to do something to try to get some of his heat back, so Yeah, I didn't mind what they did. Terrible Dry Chicken, please, WWE, move the Motor City Machine Guns and Mello to Raw. Yeah, the Machine Guns need something. You know what? The Machine Guns, actually, the Raw Tag Team Division could use a team like them. I actually think that's a great idea. SmackDown could afford to lose them. Raw could really benefit by picking them up. Holiday 197, not a fan of them booking Carmelo like a chump, with him accepting Miz taking the spotlight. It makes his character look foolish with the face turn. Well, I mean, he's not really just accepting it. He looks aggravated every time it happens. That's kind of the point of the story that they're trying to tell, and it's going to just all boil over at some point. Duff's Viz, what did the egg say to the boiling water? I don't know if I can get hard. I just got laid by a chick this morning. Thank you, Duff's. Terrible Dried Chicken says, every time I see the Secret Hervis, they are like the female versions of this WCW tag team called Creative Control, or they work for Agent Smith. Also, I wish Shawn Michaels was a co-booker of the main roster. Yeah, co-bookers don't always work out well. I don't know about co-bookers. Straight Fighter 88. Street Fighter, not straight. Maybe, who knows? Street Fighter 88. Caden Carter said that she had the same issue as Julia. She barely got time on TV, but was expected to get over it. Yeah, and that's what I love about it. Like, the talent ends up being blamed, whether it's by management or just by the fans on social media. They're not getting over. They're not getting. Yeah, some people don't get over, but you have to give them the opportunity to get themselves over. And whether it's in a backstage segment or if it's in a match, Julie is already at a disadvantage because English is not her first language. Now, her English has gotten better. Her English is not terrible. But that immediately puts her at a disadvantage when it comes to like promos and backstage segments. The way to get her over is to get her in the ring. And they're just not doing that. And that's not on her. You know, that's on Triple H. It's on Triple H and Road Dogg and whoever else is responsible for writing on Fridays. Base Beerus says, Conor McGregor versus John Cena promo would have been nuts. Yeah, I don't really have any great desire to see Conor McGregor on my TV. Dublin or not. Duff's Vids, I tried to win a tanning competition. I only got bronze. Bronze breaker. Zachary Black, Mr. Monster. Much to be said, and I love Stephanie Vicaire and the rest of the massively talented women's division. Just how can you or I continue to watch this product after Brock returned? Well, Brock returned one night. We haven't seen him since. Do we even know if he's officially back? Brock was inevitably going to come back at some point. It was just a matter of when. It happened a lot sooner than I thought it would, in all honesty. But I can't say that I was shocked that they would bring him back. Now, Brock is going to come back, and Brock is going to be part-time, and we're barely going to see him. He'll be in for a match here and there. And he'll be mostly, as far as the actual TV shows, he'll be mostly forgotten about because he's rarely going to even be around. Now, whether or not that's something that you can accept, or if you can't watch the WWE product anymore, I mean, there's probably people who are going to just be completely turned off by that and not even watch. You know, and that's certainly your prerogative. How the women in the company feel? I can imagine some of them are probably not very happy about it. I can imagine some of them probably have other feelings and maybe don't care. But I'm sure some of them do. And they're going to show up and go to work because that's their job. You know, I don't see anybody there quitting in protest. You know, the fans are going to have to make the decisions that they feel they need to make about whether or not they want to continue to watch the product for a variety of different reasons, not just Brock Lesnar. You know, that's an individual decision. Hey, Sarah, what's going on? Says Solomonster, I heard the news that Killer Cross is debuting in HOG on October. Well, it's October 10th. Says she is excited. Yeah, people are excited. We already have front row is sold out and stage seating is sold out. So now we're down to second and third row. Do we have fourth row up? We might. And then general admission. So there are tickets available, but front row's already gone. Stage seating is gone. Not just for Killer Cross. That's going to be a big show for us on October 10th. Not only is Killer Cross coming in, and I won't say who he's wrestling, but we got the return of the Hardy Boys. We've got Amazing Red already announced for a match with the X Division champion in TNA, the man who replaced Red as the now youngest reigning X Division champion of all time, Leon Slater. And we got some other things up our sleeve. So October 10th is going to be a fun night at the NYC Arena. But we got Philadelphia first, September 4th. We'll be in Philly. We got to get past that first. Joseph Stewart. Raven announced his screening for his autobiography tomorrow night outside of Boston. Yeah, he's got a new movie out, like a documentary about his life and career. It's about all I know about it. I know it's coming out. Beyond that, I don't know too much more about it. Dry Chicken says, put Logan Paul in a death match and see what happens. Nick Gage. Put him in the ring with Nick Gage, Pizza Cutter. Terrible Dry Chicken, thank you again. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. Jack Glancy with the $16. Says, I missed when SmackDown was a good show back in 2023. This was so freaking boring. I hate how good Logan actually is in the ring. It's a shame for all that talent. He's an absolute asshole in real life. Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't like Logan Paul. And no matter how good he may be when he's in the ring, that doesn't mean that people are going to like the guy. Just something about him that really irks people. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. I was out with friends recently on a beautiful summer day, and I had to be home for, what else, a show that night. So I came home, and what did I do? I prepared myself a delicious meal from Factor for dinner, and it was ready in minutes. If I wanted to make the same meal myself, first of all, I'm no chef, but if I wanted to, it would have taken hours, and I would have missed out on all the summer fun. That's the convenience of Factor. Factor meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes, taking the hassle out of eating well. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat, making them perfect for any active lifestyle, not just this summer, but all year round. With 45 weekly menu options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your goals. Choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day with nutritious breakfast, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. That's your entire day taken care of without even having to give it a second thought. So enjoy more this summer. If you want all the flavor without all the fuss, Factor's got you covered. My favorite meal, by far, has been the sesame teriyaki filet mignon. Not only was it delicious, but I like that I can eat healthier and actually enjoy what I'm eating at the same time. I don't have to feel guilty when I'm done. And also, if you've set certain fitness goals for yourself, as I have, you know, if you want to get down to your goal weight, for example, eating healthier is the way to go. You can do all the cardio in the world, but you cannot outrun a crappy diet. So I appreciate how Factor Meals allows me to stick to my goals. Just heat it up in 2 minutes and it's ready to go. Factor takes care of the hard part. Let them take care of it for you too, with this exclusive offer for Solid Monster Sounds Off listeners. Get started at factormeals.com/solidmonster50off and use code SOLIDMONSTER50OFF to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code SOLIDMONSTER50OFF at factormeals.com/solidmonster50off for 50% off plus free shipping. factormeals.com/solidmonster50off. Super Pony, will you be playing the new Halloween game? If it comes out, apparently the company behind it, I guess, has backed out of games in the past from what I can gather that they were supposed to make and then they've never gotten made. So I hope they see this through to its completion. It looks really cool. And I saw that they got Nick Castle, the original, the Shape. He's doing, I think, motion capture for the game. So you'll get some of like the mannerisms of like the original Michael Myers. So that's pretty cool. I saw a screenshot of him doing a motion capture for the game. Zachary Black, Mr. Monster, I need your favorite non-alcoholic drink and ice cream dessert. Well, when I used to be able to have ice cream, I used to love having a vanilla fudge sundae with wet walnuts on top. So good. It was so good. Now the fake ice cream I have, it's by a brand called Soy. It's soy based, but it tastes like real ice cream to me. It's is it Soy Del? I think it's So Delicious. That's the name of the brand. And they have these mocha almond fudge bars. Those are really good. Those are really good. Non-alcoholic drink. Vitamin Water Zero, the Rise Orange flavor. That's my favorite. Hollywood Guy says, do you see John putting over Paul in the PLE or will Cena win clean? I see Drew interfering, causing Logan to win. I mean, I suppose that's possible, but I got John Cena winning that match. I just feel like we may get a late edition with Drew and Randy Orton on that show. And you know, if they do that, they could even have a John Cena tag team match on TV if they wanted to. They could give us a John Cena-Randy Orton tag team match against Drew McIntyre or Logan Paul on SmackDown at some point in September. Why not? Throw an extra match in there. A John Cena-Randy Orton tag team. The Shawn-a-thon. Any news on where the old WWE, WCW, ECW will stream? Nothing. They've announced nothing. Assume YouTube. Until we get news of a deal that they've reached, either with Peacock or Netflix or ESPN, as of the end of this year, the archives will have no home. So I have to assume YouTube is at least the fallback, but it's not like they're just going to take everything that's there now on Peacock and just put it on YouTube. So, I mean, at least classic content will have a home on YouTube, if nothing else, but there's been no deal reached yet for the archives. They've got a few months. Holiday 197. If Drew does not win the WWE title, I hope we get a Cena versus McIntyre match before he retires. The pep talk that Drew gave to Logan is hopefully a plan to plant the seed. It could be a good mini feud. Sure. I'd love to see that one-on-one. Boots. We all know who the real Uncle Solo is. Yada mean. That's right, you're looking at him right here. Uncle Solo's looking at you right in the eyes right now. I'm the best uncle. I'm the fun uncle. Bobby's World, thank you again for the gifted membership. Zachary Black with the $2. Duff's Vids with the $9.99. Before I married my wife, I took her on 8 dates, and then we went to the movies for our 9th date. Our dates were dinner, 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 Batman. Oh. You know, it took me a couple seconds to figure out what you just did. Dinner, 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 Batman. Great show. The Adam West Batman. I mean, it was technically before my time, but I watched a lot of it when I was a kid. I will always be a fan of the old Adam West Batman. Dinner, 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 dinner. Oofman Entertainment, 52 months of membership. 52 months, baby. Buy or sell Knight Rider or Airwolf? And why is Knight Rider the best? Well, you took my answer before I was even going to give it to you. I was going to say Knight Rider. Kit, man. Kit is awesome, and there was no Kit on Airwolf. So therefore, Knight Rider wins. Had the better theme song, too. Miles Woods. For me, AJ against John Cena was the only dream match or program that actually delivered. How about you? I mean, Rock and Hogan was kind of a dream match that delivered, was it not? I'm sure we could find other examples of quote-unquote dream matches that delivered. Honestly, you know, seeing Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker back in the ring one-on-one at WrestleMania was a dream match for me. I was shocked it took them fucking 6 or 7 years to make it happen after Shawn came back. But once we got it, boy, did that match deliver. In the chat, what other examples of quote-unquote dream matches that we eventually got lived up to or exceeded your expectations? I know there's got to be a few. HBKC83, would you have put the WWF title on Razor Ramon? If so, at what point? I would not have. Had he stuck around longer? Possibly. But if he would have left at the beginning of 96 the way he did, I just don't think that there would have been a time that I would have had it on him over somebody like Bret or Shawn. If I had the option of putting it on somebody, I don't think I would have put it on him. Not that he couldn't have held it for a while. I think he could have. Sammy, 2K10. says, hi, Solo. Sam from England. Glad this early show gave me the chance to catch you live for once. Well, that's why a lot of these streams I'm doing them. I mean, I'm doing them at 8 so I could at least eat dinner first. But I like the earlier streams, not just because it's easier for me, but just because there are always people, whether it's in the UK or other places, who don't usually get the chance to join when I do my later streams because it's so late where they are, or so early in the morning where they are. So when I do like an 8 o'clock stream, it gives people a chance to actually join in who don't usually get to join in. It says, keep on providing that quality content we love. Keep entertaining us and stay well. Best wishes. Well, thank you, Sammy. I wish the same to you. Very nice of you. I see, by the way, that we also hit the 15 out of 15 super chat goal. Which means that we are getting 2 rounds of Be the Booker. Because we hit our regular goal as well. You guys have killed it so far, man. Keep it up. The more Be the Booker, the better. Base Beer says, congratulations to Natty Neidhart, the Luthez Award. I did see that. Yes, she was presented with the Luthez Award. Solid Monster still ending the stream at 1 a.m. It would take a lot of super chats to keep me around for that long. It's I'm not saying it's impossible, but no, I don't see that happening tonight. Edward Brooks, today is the 10-year anniversary of Sasha Bailey in Brooklyn. Still the best, man. Still the best women's match. And I was there for it. That was a special match to be there live for. Dr. Scorpio says, I chopped the clock in half. It was a split-second decision. I'll show myself out. Oh, no, don't worry. We will show you out. We'll all show you out. Number one, Homo Sapien. Says, why was Tigger in the toilet? He was looking for poo. Hopefully this gets us Be the Booker. That might have been the one. That might have been the one that got us bonus Be the Booker. Oofman Entertainment double Be the Booker Bay Bay. Well, maybe that one was. Thank you, Oofman. Dr. Scorpio, for real though, Wrestlepalooza sounds like some cheesy wrestling summer camp that you take your kids to. Well, it's no worse than Great Balls of Fire. We've had worse. Wrestlepalooza is not even the worst. Nick Grasso, according to reports, the Hurt Syndicate refused to put over FTR straight up, which is why Bandido and Brody King were added to the match. There shows a problem behind the scenes and the inmates are running the asylum a bad look. I've been talking about this for like a couple of weeks now on the podcast. So I thought this was coming. I was openly talking about the very real possibility that that finals of the tournament on Wednesday would end in a draw. And lo and behold, that's exactly what we got. Now we're getting a triple threat. And ultimately, those titles need to end up on FTR. Tony wants them on FTR. That's where they should end up. The fact that this is probably happening because certain people did not want to lose those titles to FTR, if in fact that's the entire reason, the real reason why this is happening, it does not paint Tony Khan in a very good light. That this is sort of the compromise. There should be no compromise. There's nothing to compromise here. If that's the sole reason why we are getting this triple threat match, it is a bad look for Tony Khan. You got to put your foot down and say, too bad. This is who you're wrestling, and this is what's going on. You're losing the titles to them, and that's it. That's it. It's very simple. Terrible Dry Chicken, I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am Batman. Yeah, and it's an elimination match now, by the way. They stuck that in there, too. They said nothing about that on TV. But the graphic on Twitter indicates it's an elimination match. So, in that case, it kind of makes me wonder if they might have Brodito eliminate the Hurt Syndicate. And, like, shock the world, and the Hurt Syndicate gets eliminated first, not by FTR, but by Brody King and Bandido. And then we have new champions guaranteed. And then FTR beats Brodita. Very real possibility that that might happen. MTS got back to watching wrestling about a year ago. What is with all the dives out of the ring? Seems like every show and multiple times in it. Brother, I've been crowing about this for at least 5 years now. It's awful. It's just awful. And there's nothing that could be done because now it's just, it's a part of wrestling now. It's so overdone and it's just, it's become something that you almost have to do it because that's just the way things are done. And it's in every single company. It's in WWE, it's in TNA, it's in AEW. It's just infected wrestling in the last several years. And it's awful. The fact that everybody feels compelled to do it in every match and usually right before the commercial break, it is so, it's just such a played out, tired formula. And I hate it. And it's never going to change. So imagine a fan who has not watched in many years coming in and seeing all these dives and see, they're wondering the same thing. What's with all the dives? Dude, I ask that question all the time and then I just stopped asking. Because I'm never going to get an answer. So there's no point in even asking. It's very, very stupid. Psycho Jet Black, I've always wondered, every time The Miz shows up on TV, it's almost like you wish for this guy to just be gone from WWE. Why do you hate The Miz? Every time he shows up on TV, it's almost like I wish for the guy to be gone. When have I ever said that? I make fun of The Miz because he's easy to make fun of. He's a heel. He's very hateable. He's very overly produced. He's that guy that they love to plug in wherever he's needed on the show, whether it's a heel, a babyface, serious, comedy, whatever it may be. But he's been there for so long. And his shtick has never changed. You know, I'm The Miz and I'm awesome. And now he's with Carmelo Hayes and now we're awesome. And I'm like, some of the stuff that they have him do on TV is just groan inducing. But when you see somebody on TV for so long, and I feel like this is the same thing that like a Dolph Ziggler ran into. And they're at a certain level and they're there for forever. You know, you get sick of them because they don't go away. They're always there. And there's nothing about The Miz's act on TV at this point that is terribly interesting to see. So he's a useful player, like a utility player on the show. And now they're going to use him to try to get Carmelo Hayes over as a babyface, which is fine. I mean, that's the kind of role he should be in. But I just love how people, like, they hear me, like, make little jokes during the reviews and be funny and stuff, and they, from that, extrapolate that I hate the man. Which I've never, ever said. But people just sort of assume things that, you know, oh, he must hate The Miz. No, I'm tired of seeing him on my television a lot of times, because why wouldn't I be? That doesn't mean that I hate the man. I want him fired. Or out of a job, or that he brings no value at all to WWE. He has had a very blessed career. He met his wife, has a whole family. Like, he has had a blessed career in WWE. He will, and he always will. He's one of those guys where if we heard one day, and I know we heard it with R-Truth, but seriously, if we ever heard that The Miz was released by WWE, I would be more stunned by that than I think the news of any other release that we have ever heard. Like, he is the quintessential lifer. And when he's done in the ring, he'll still be there, but he'll be there in some other capacity. You know, whether it's a producer or a coach, an ambassador, whatever it is they have him doing, an announcer maybe, a general manager. Tell me you can't see The Miz one day when he's retired as like the GM of Raw or the GM of SmackDown. Like, he'll always have a role there. And that's fine. I just cannot bring myself to care about him as a weekly television character on these shows. I don't see anything terribly controversial or wrong about that statement. I bet you most people in this chat would agree with me. Duff's Vids, out of the blue question, but whatever happened to Blue Pants from NXT? Yeah, whatever did happen to Blue Pants? She went to AEW, I thought. And then after that, I don't know. I don't know what she's up to these days. She's still wrestling. Death Scythe, not the first time this has happened. Didn't the Honky Tonk Man refuse to drop the IC title to Randy Savage, which makes Vince look bad? Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That Vince McMahon wanted the Honky Tonk Man to lose the Intercontinental Championship, but because the Honky Tonk Man said no, he didn't lose it. Yes, you're right. That does make Vince McMahon look like a chump. Honky Tonk Man's reasoning, according to the Honky Tonk Man, is that he felt that it would, first of all, he felt it wasn't the right time yet. Of course, that's not his decision to make. But I've heard him say that he was worried if he lost the title, it would lower his value to like the NWA. If he was basically going to be phased down and had to leave, that it would lower his value. I don't really agree with that. I think that's also a fucking bullshit excuse. If Vince McMahon wanted the Honky Tonk Man, and who the fuck is the Honky Tonk Man, right? To lose the Intercontinental Championship that night to Macho Man Randy Savage, then that's what should have happened. The only thing I could think of is maybe Honky indicated that if you make me do this, I'm going to leave. You know, and they had a live special that night on NBC, and it's like, all right, you win. So they ended up doing like a countout finish. But no, I don't disagree. Makes Vince McMahon look bad. He got outplayed by the Honky Tonk Man. Also, that's right. Leva Bates was Blue Pants. She went to AEW. Her contract expired. Leva is still wrestling on the indies, and she is a Twitch streamer. So there you go. That's where she is. I would say things worked out okay, though, for the Macho Man. He got a nice consolation prize out of it. Ted DiBiase, on the other hand, I don't know that he's ever really fully forgiven the Honky Tonk Man for that decision. He believes that he would have been the WWF champion had things gone the way they were supposed to go. We'll never know. We can't ask Vince because his brain is fried anyway. I doubt he would. I wouldn't trust, even if he told us, I wouldn't trust his fucking response if his tongue was notarized. Dry Chicken says, imagine Omos doing a dive off the top rope. Yeah. First time he does that, I could just see The Undertaker in the back, like, with that finger. Come here. Come here. Don't ever do that again. Like when Big Show was doing that. Big Show was doing moonsaults and stuff, kip-ups. And he said, Hogan pulled him aside one day and said, what are you doing? Don't do that anymore. You're a giant. You're not supposed to be doing stuff like that. It's like Kevin Nash. Recently, Kevin Nash was on his podcast and he was talking about Raquel Rodriguez and he said that she needs to be playing big more. You know, she doesn't play big. She's like everybody else and she sells too much. You got to play like, you know, big meaning like Diesel, like what Diesel was. And she was asked about it, I think on a podcast that she did, interview. And I thought her response was actually very professional. And she said, you know what? That's, if Kevin Nash is telling me that he thinks I should work, you know, bigger in my matches, then that's great feedback. And I might have to, you know, take that advice. But wouldn't you know, the last couple of months, she's been working bigger in her matches. And she's actually been doing really well. A lot of people have taken notice of how much better she's got. Dr. Scorpio says, at least Tony Khan doesn't have to deal with Charles Mason. Imagine trying to tell him that you got to drop the world title. Good luck to whoever is booking him. Yeah, yeah, whoever that commissioner is, good luck to that guy. He's got his hands full. I don't envy that guy. Didn't The Undertaker dive off the top rope? Yeah, he would do an elbow every now and then. I know he did one in his match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. And he would do that dive out of the ring every now and then. That's fine. I mean, when you have a big guy do like a big plancha out of the ring and everybody catches them, as long as you don't do it all the time, it's fine. Like Undertaker would do that. I saw Diesel do it. I saw Diesel, believe it or not, I saw Kevin Nash do that twice. Diesel did a plancha out of the ring in a lumberjack match against Psycho Sid at In Your House. And I know he did it in a match with the Giant in WCW. I don't know if he did it more than that, but I know he did it those two times. And the fact that I could even remember the two times he ever did it, that's why it's important you keep it special and you don't do it every single time, every single PLE match, right? You keep it very, very special, very, very limited, because certain people should not be doing dives and moves like that on a regular basis. It's insane. It's like Andre the Giant. When he was still somewhat mobile, imagine Andre the Giant coming off the ropes with a fucking tope con hilo. It would be ridiculous. Big John Studd with a fucking cannonball off the top of the prettiest moonsault ever from Big John Studd. It's ridiculous. Leave that to the people who need to rely on moves like that, because they're not Andre the Giant and they're not Big John Studd. That's the other thing that kind of irks me, and I would imagine it irks some of the smaller talents. It's like, can you imagine in WCW during the Nitro era, they had the cruiserweight division and all these guys are doing these spectacular moves and dives and Ranas, Rey Mysterio and Juventud and Psicosis and La Parca and Blitzkrieg, right? And all these people. And imagine if just the upper card talents decided, you know what, I'm going to start doing that. Kevin Nash starts doing it, right? Hogan's like, hey, let me try this, brother. Right? One time is all it would take, and then he would never do it again. Yeah, the Giant and fucking Ron Rees from the Flock starts doing all, like, it's ridiculous. You know, you're not meant to be doing that. But now you see all these guys. You got Bronson Reed diving out of the ring, got this guy diving out of the ring, the Viking Raiders, Ivar's diving out of the ring. What does it mean? It's not really impressive anymore. Death Scythe says, I wonder what would happen if Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland won the AEW World Tag Team titles. I can just imagine those two having the same chemistry as Angle and Benoit when they were a team. You know what? It might happen one day. I think that had Ospreay not gotten hurt, there's a very good chance Ospreay and Swerve would have been the ones to beat the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door to win the tag team titles. I think the injury issues necessitated a change in plans. I would not at all be surprised if they were earmarked for a tag team title run. Hangman and Swerve as tag team champions could happen one day. Terrible Dry Chicken says, you know what will be my worst nightmare? Brock Lesnar working a death match. Says he will not step in the ring with him. Well, that's another one. Like, Brock Lesnar used to do a shooting star press. The fact that he could even pull off a shooting star press is just incredible. And man, had he hit that one at WrestleMania 19, that would have been one for the highlight reel. Unfortunately, it didn't quite go the way he wanted it to, and he was smart enough never to try that again. But like, if Brock was busting out shooting star presses in every match, after a while, you know, it doesn't really mean as much anymore. But if he busts out a shooting star only in those rare situations where the F5 is not working, what do I do? It's like a WrestleMania main event. You bust out a shooting star press and you win with it. They're doing all these moves and they don't even win with them. Ricardo with a $4.99, WWE should pay Jericho to continue his learning tree gimmick on AEW. It's that bad. He's a bigger value to them that way. So Ricardo's idea, I love it. Ricardo's idea is that WWE should pay Jericho to continue doing the learning tree on Dynamite, to keep him away from WWE. And if Jericho can pull that off, he's playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers. Death Scythe, 2002 to 2004, Brock Lesnar was the best. 2002 to 2004, Brock Lesnar was Very scary. I mean, so was 2012 Brock Lesnar, but 2002 to 2004 Brock Lesnar, he did more than just the Suplex City. He actually wrestled. He's always had that scary speed. Even to this day. I'll never forget that one episode of Raw where he was out there with Heath Slater. And Slater ran out of the ring. Like, Brock was in the ring with him. And Heath Slater ran out of the ring, and the camera just followed him. And as soon as he got outside the ring, Brock was there. It's like he teleported. Like, how did he do that? A guy built the way that he was always, but he was always built like a tank. Like, a guy built the way that he was built, weighing as much as he did, shouldn't be able to move that fast. Now imagine him doing dives off the top rope, flying Brock Lesnar. That's scary. All right, let's break here because we have not just one round. We have two rounds of Be the Booker to do because you guys came through on the goals. So let's get to it. It's Be the Booker time, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's do it.
It is now time to Be the Booker.
Jason Voorhees speed. Yes. You could run from Jason. He's like off in the distance and you can run the other way and you just know when you turn around, he's just going to be standing there. That's Brock Lesnar. Put a hockey mask on Brock Lesnar, you have Jason Voorhees. All right, Be the Booker, tag team edition. That's right, Be the Booker times two. We got the Dirty Heels. The Dirty Heels from TNA, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. This is when I was watching Impact full time. I like this team. Not quite beer money, but I still like this team. The Dirty Heels against the American Wolves. Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. That's a very TNA-rific tag team match that we've booked here on this edition of Impact. We're booking an episode of Impact here on Be the Booker. Be the Booker Impact Edition. Women's match includes Luna Vachon, who is not at Impact. We have Luna Vachon. Is Luna Vachon in the Hall of Fame? It's sad. I don't even remember. If not, she should be. I can't remember if they put her in the Hall of Fame as like a legacy inductee. I think she might be in there as a legacy inductee. Luna Vachon against Dr. Britt Baker. DMD, the former AEW Women's World Champion. Britt Baker is in for a rough night against Luna Vachon. She is in the legacy. Yeah. All right. Well, at least she's in. I mean, she deserved a proper induction, but I guess it's better than nothing. All right. The main event, we've got the former TNT champion, currently one half of the Ring of Honor. I guess still technically for now, his partner just had double knee replacement surgery. So I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with those belts. But Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara is in the main event of Be the Booker. Better be on his best behavior. Can't afford a suspension here, or else we lose our main event. Oh my God, it is Sammy Guevara against the Beast Mortos. It's the Beast Mortos. I'm not going to lie. Someone may or may not have greased my palms to get the Beast in the main event. I hear she just won her 9th championship tonight. Hint, hint. Well, it may be a collision main event, but it's a main event all the same. So we give it the bell, and we got a clean sweep in round number one of Be the Booker. That's right. My boy, Money Mortos. I'm just saying. Somebody may grease the palms here. So let's add some stipulations to our bonus round. Yeah, 9 belts. She's got 9 belts now. Can you imagine going through the fucking TSA checkpoint with 9 belts in your luggage? What a fucking nightmare that must be. Because she takes them everywhere. Even if she takes 6 of them with her, she takes them everywhere. All right, we're going to have ourselves a parking lot brawl. We're going to have a tag team parking lot brawl for round number 1. It was a great tag team parking lot brawl on Rampage back in the day with Santana and Ortiz. God, who did they wrestle? Santana and Ortiz against... Was it Best Friends? Might have been Best Friends. All right, tag team parking lot brawl. Team 3D. The Dudley Boys. Going to be wrestling their final match ever together as a team against the Hardys. One last time at Bound for Glory in October. Most decorated tag team of all time. Where will this parking lot brawl be taking place? Perhaps somewhere around the corner of Swanson and Rittner. Speaking of belt collectors, yes. Oh, wow. The Dudley Boys against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Here's another belt collector image right here. In a parking lot brawl. Who wins that match? Owens and Zayn against the Dudleys. In a parking lot brawl. Kevin Owens has shown that he will do some crazy shit in these matches. That's 4 in a row, by the way, that we've had so far. 4 bells in a row. Tables, yeah, get the tables in the parking lot. Get them ready. The NXT parking lot, well, we'll never see them again. All right, we're going to have a strap match, a women's strap match. All right, so that's where we're headed with this. These two women are going to strap the shit out of each other. Who's it going to be? Ty Mello. Mrs. Sammy Guevara. We had Sammy Guevara in the men's main event. Now we have Mrs. Guevara here in the women's main event. Tied to a strap against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, for the second time tonight. The good doctor is pulling double duty. How are we feeling about this? Ty Mello and Britt Baker in a strap match. Our streak of bells is on the line here. I need some feedback from you guys. I'm tempted to give this a buzz, honestly. I don't know. And Britt pulling double duty here? Streak is over. The streak is over. It was bound to happen. It was bound to happen. All right, our men's main event is going to be a Texas death match. A Texas death match. Somebody is going to bleed. Bam Bam Bigelow in a Texas death match. Bam Bam can throw down. Bam Bam looks like he's been in some street fights back in his day. I don't know that he was ever in a Texas deathmatch, though. But he will be in one against Penta. Penta against Bam Bam Bigelow. I like that match. I like that match a lot, actually. Hell yeah. Sign me up. That's awesome. Death Scythe says Taz would say, well, here comes the pain. Tell me, man, that SmackDown 6 era from 2002 to 2003, that was the best era of SmackDown. Dry Chicken says Mercedes Moné wants to break Ultimo Dragon's record. What did he have? He had 10, didn't he? She only needs one more. Yo, Kyle Fletcher posted a picture of himself with the TNT Championship, and then Mercedes posted underneath, that's a mighty fine belt you got there. Death Scythe, Chris Jericho should bring back his Nick Bockwinkel gimmick when he was feuding with HBK in 2008, because that was the best version of Jericho. You know what? He doesn't go back. He usually likes to just reinvent himself altogether, so I don't see him going back and doing a previous gimmick like that. And it's not going to be as good as it was in 2008, so why bother doing it over again? You're never going to be able to top what he did back then. Well, we'll find out on Monday, I suppose, whether or not they're going to be adding Becky Lynch against Nikki Bella to the card for a clash in Paris, because clearly the card is incomplete. I will do my best, though, to give you the complete card as we know it, because that's another thing on the podcast tomorrow. My early clash in Paris predictions will be on the show. I'll also be talking about the WWE ESPN announcement bumping things up, WrestlePalooza, Tony Khan's response. This Hulk Hogan story just took a very dark turn this week. Hollywood Reporter, fun little segment. Hollywood Reporter recently ranked its list of the top 10 wrestlers turned actors. And I'm going to go through that list, and I'm going to give you my feedback and how my list looks compared to theirs. It's kind of an interesting topic. So that's all coming up on episode 926. Again, going up a day early tomorrow. I don't know when. It's not recorded yet. Probably not until later in the day, but it has to be this way for the next few weekends just because of these Sunday pay-per-views that we have. AEW is this weekend. WWE is next weekend. So for someone who usually drops the main show on Sunday afternoon, the fact that we have two Sunday afternoon pay-per-views kind of fucks my whole schedule up. So no big deal. Just get it out a day early. Dry Chicken says WWE will bring in Caitlin Clark. Book it. Oh, I'm sure they would love to. They can get her. They'll definitely get her in there if she's interested. I'm sure they've already tried. But yeah, that Hogan stuff, the TMZ update this week and from his daughter was just wild stuff. Brian, thank you very much. He enjoys the streams. I hope all of you enjoyed this stream a little earlier than usual. So I know we didn't get the full crew here, but we got a lot of people with us and the support was fantastic. We did two Be the Bookers, which is awesome. Hopefully you can bring that same energy on Sunday for Forbidden Door. Live again with you, 8 o'clock. So Forbidden Door is probably going to end around 5:30. But either way, I'll be live around 8 p.m. Eastern, just like we were tonight. So I hope you will be able to join me then. Check out all the other content on the channel from this week. And keep your eyes out for episode 926 of the podcast tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Be well. Stay safe. Skyler says fiend mode. Fiend. You keep your fiend to yourself. This is a no fiend zone. See you guys on Sunday for the Forbidden Door. Until then, take care, guys.